Hello, happy Sunday. Welcome. Well, thank you for those of you that are in here. That's good. Well, welcome, welcome. Glad to have you here with us this morning. We praise the Lord that we're able to come together and worship, right? So anyhow, for those of you that are new or just visiting, we'd love to get connected with you. So there's cards in the seat in front of you called connection cards. You can fill that out and put it in the offering plate as it comes by, or you could scan it, the QR code, and fill that out. So if you would. And then also, just like here, we'd love to have you stay after service and connect with us a little bit more. As we move into worship today, I'd like to, Pastor Sean's been sharing, doing a little mini-series with us about, about the mission and vision that Trinity Alliance Church has. And so what I'm going to do today is read the mission vision that we have, and then I will read part of Ephesians 2, and then I'll have you join me on the rest of that. Pastor Sean has sensed the Lord saying, "Hey, let's share this, the mission vision with the church," and so that's what he's been doing last week and this week, and so it's kind of important that we understand what that is. It's a part of our whole life, and that's why he's doing that. So anyhow, let me share the mission vision, and you probably heard this before. I've stated it here last week, and pretty much it's a weekly thing, but here we go. The vision is, mission vision is to fully enjoy our relationship with Jesus through, and there's kind of three pillars, three parts to this triangle: relying on the power of the Holy Spirit, God's word, and prayer, fully enjoying the relationship with Jesus through journeying in life with our church family in honesty and humility, and I'm going to say it again, fully enjoying our relationship with Jesus through engaging our neighbor with the love of God in authentic and caring relationship. So those are kind of the three pillars, you might say, as we really move into, I got everything here, fully enjoying our relationship with Jesus. I've been enjoying my granddaughter here. I don't know if you saw that she's with me, and so there's a few other things that I have in my hands that she's been coloring on. So kind of as we think about fully enjoying our relationship with Jesus, I had to ask, well, why? For what reasons would we fully enjoy? And what came to mind is this passage that I'll be talking about. And we'll put it up here in a minute, but let me start out by reading the first three verses of it. This is Ephesians 2. "And you were dead in the trespasses and sins in which you once walked, following the course of this world, following the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that is now at work in the sons of disobedience, among whom we all once lived in the passions of our flesh, carrying out the desires of the flesh and the mind, and were by nature children of wrath like the rest of mankind." That's the first part of that Paul shares with us. And that's not a good state. That's where we once were. For those that know Jesus, that's where we once were. And this is where the next part comes in. But God. Okay, stop. But God. Hallelujah for that, right? Don't we praise the Lord for that? Just Paul put that down, just but God. It tells you there's a sense, a change. And so let's go on. I'm going to find out what that change. But God, being rich in mercy because of the great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised us up with him, and seated us with him in the heavenly place in Christ Jesus, so that in the coming ages he might show the immeasurable riches of his grace in kindness towards us in Christ Jesus. And grace you have been saved through faith, and this not of your own doing. It is a gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Hallelujah. Now that is good news, isn't it? But God took us from our deadness, from being dead, period. Reality is not this world we live in. We see and we're part of this. The reality is in the spiritual realm. We were dead in that spiritual realm. But through Christ, when you know Jesus, you are alive. You are living. And so that's the great news. And to fully, not to fully, that's not the way I say it. We are able to fully enjoy Jesus because of what he has done for us. He made us alive. Now we are able to fully enjoy him. And isn't it amazing all the different things that, as you look through that, what we just read, there's so many things that we need to praise him for to that we could fully enjoy him. First of all, he loves us, right? That's what it says. Because he loves us, this is what happened. I'm talking about he being God or Jesus, or the Trinity. Then he made us alive when we're together with Jesus, right? Together with Christ, we are alive. We are a living being. We have life. And scripture backs that up too. Then God saved us. By God's grace, we have been saved. Hallelujah, right? Not just saved from death, but saved to fully enjoy what Jesus has given us, to fully enjoy Jesus. And then he, not only that, so that was the past. He seated us with him in the heavenly places, in heavenly place in Jesus. So if you read that, we are seated, that's past tense, in the heavenly places. We are not only alive, but we're in heaven. We're seated in heaven with Christ. Wow, can you imagine that? Do you ever think about that? That we don't just live here. Our reality is in heaven. That's where we are. We're part of that. And it's a loss for words for me because it's not something I think about a lot. But as I've read this and listened to this verse more and more, or this passage, it's we are with God. God didn't, not only are we saved from death, but we are seated with him. So that's a hallelujah. And in the coming ages, not only are we now seated with him, but in the coming ages, he's going to show us immeasurably more riches and grace than we can imagine, right? It's just because there's other things going to happen, and he's going to show us his grace and all that. We have been, as said already, we've been saved by grace through faith in Christ. And this is not a gift that we earned. We didn't earn this on our own. This is something of him. Hallelujah, we didn't earn it, because that would really be a nightmare. We'd all be bragging about what we did to get here. And that would be no fun, right? That would be chaos. And then we are his workmanship. We are created for in Jesus to do good works that God prepared in advance for us. So much more. This is just part of scripture. Hallelujah. You know, these are all things that helps us and reasons why we could fully enjoy our relationship with Jesus. Look at all that he did for us. Isn't that great news? As we go on to announcements, there's a few things I want to announce. As we've been talking about, one of the pillars, one of the angle or sides of the triangle here at Trinity Alliance is prayer. That's part of that. So I wanted to let everybody know, starting, we've been doing this for a long time, but let's say that start at the first of the week, and I'll tell you. So Sunday mornings at 8 o'clock, we have a pre-service prayer. It's a time to come together, and for me, I find just to prepare the heart to worship the Lord, right? It's what a great way to start the day, start the week. And then after service on Sundays, we have prayer teams back in the back that you're able to pray with or ask them to pray for something or yourself, however that works. And then Sunday evenings at Sacred Space, we have opportunity for prayer there. And then on Tuesdays from 5:30 to 7, we have a dedicated prayer time. So you're welcome to attend all those. I'm sure there's other prayer going on other places, but those are the dedicated, those are the times of prayer that I wanted to mention. And then Sunday evening, as I was talking about, from 6 to 8, this is in your bulletin, Sacred Space goes on. It's right here. We have that right here, and it's a time just to worship the Lord in whatever way you feel called to. When I say that, you know, you could just read scripture. You could just be in prayer by yourself. You could dance. If you want people to pray for you, they'll be there to pray for you. So you're welcome to come and enjoy that opportunity to worship the Lord. And then speaking of prayer, please keep the Wolskis in prayer. Gene and Jesse, Gene's mom just passed away recently. And so that's hard. If any of you lost moms, it's or a parent, period, it's just tough. And so please keep them in prayer.
All right. Good to see you guys. Good to be here. Good to be preaching through, again, our vision a bit with you guys today. I think last week I began this series, so the first part of this little mini-series that we're doing was started last week, and so I just want to encourage you, if you weren't here last Sunday or if you haven't heard that message, if you're going to be here for the next few weeks, if you're going to want to know more about this vision statement, I want to encourage you to maybe go back and listen to that. Watch that. You can see it on our website, tacreading.info, and there's a page there that you can click on to go and look at past messages. But I think it's important because last week was, in some sense, laying the foundation for our vision statement, and the rest that comes after it comes out of this perspective. And so I want to start, actually, this message with a little bit of a brief kind of maybe summary of last week. And in short, I looked at this the typical perspective that we, I think, Christians in America have of what is the Christian life. And the typical perspective is one of that we are facing and climbing a mountain. And the idea is that the moment we get saved, we step in to the kingdom of God, and we find that the kingdom of God is this massive mountain that is before us, and we're at the bottom of the mountain. And the presence of God and the blessings of God, in essence, are all at the top of the mountain, and we then spend the rest of our days as Christians seeking to climb that mountain. Now, while that specific perspective isn't in and of itself, you know, some kind of evil thing, I think there are some weaknesses to that perspective that I kind of highlighted last week in that message. And one of those highlights was just the reality that that can set us up within a mindset that our Christian life is about achievement. That our Christian life is about striving to get the things that God has promised are already ours the moment we bow our knee to Jesus as Lord. There's this sense that while many Christians may understand and accept the truth, as was read earlier by Derek, that we are indeed saved by grace through faith, that we oftentimes think that grace ends at the gate or the way of salvation. That grace only gets us to salvation, but it doesn't help us afterwards. And that is just not true. Because the reality is that sanctification is by grace as well. And there are too many of us who have walked our life trying to climb the mountain and experiencing various levels of success, and some of us with the greatest success being very proud of all that we've accomplished for Jesus, yet we don't know him. We see in Matthew, the Sermon on the Mount, in Matthew 7, this reality that Jesus says, you know, to the people who have been driving out demons in Jesus' name, who have been performing miracles in Jesus' name, and they come to him and they say, Jesus, here we are. And Jesus says to them, I never knew you. Get away from me, you workers of lawlessness. How can that be? It can be when we recognize or have this perspective of the Christian life that we are here to achieve great things for Jesus. The way of sanctification, the way of Christianity is not about achievement. It's about enjoyment. Enjoyment of what we already have. The opposite image, or the other image that I gave last week, instead of seeing the Christian life as a mountain to be climbed, was that an image of a great and grand garden. A garden on a plateau, not a hill, but a plateau. And in this garden were all the vegetation on the globe. I mean, everything you can imagine is there. Different fruit trees and flowers and different vegetables growing. And even some who are experiencing the succulents in this amazing garden of God's. And so this garden is, again, a vast garden that has many paths through it. But we are unable, from our vantage point at being, again, on a plateau, to see who is deeper in the garden and who's just on the edges. We're also unaware of which are the well-worn paths in the garden versus the gardens that maybe aren't as often walked, or the paths that are less walked. But this, again, is an important perspective to have in the Christian walk, because our Christian faith is not about competition. Our walk with Jesus is not about getting ahead of others and or trying to compare ourselves to where others are. Our Christian faith is about enjoying Jesus. It's about walking with Jesus in the garden. And it's also not about walking the well-worn path. Too often we have Christians in America today who grab onto someone else's discipleship path, someone else's journey of sanctification, and try to follow in their footsteps. However, they will find after a while that path becomes quite disappointing. And they begin to wonder why God abandoned them in the midst of their greatest trial. And the reason God hasn't abandoned them, but the reason that they are feeling abandoned, is because they have not been walking with Jesus in the direction, in the path that he has laid out for them personally. The truth is, every single one of us have a unique relationship with Jesus. Just like in our families, right? We as parents, those who have kids, right? Well, if you have multiple kids, you know that every one of your kids you have a little bit different relationship with. There's no exactly the same relationship with your kids, right? And it's the same in God's family. There is not one of us who have an exact relationship as someone else in the family with God. Every one of us have this unique relationship, this uniquely intimate and loving and satisfying relationship with Jesus. As a result, the path we are to walk through this garden, the journey of faith, if you will, the way of salvation, the way of sanctification, is going to be unique for every single one of us. We can't walk or follow someone else. We can't follow somebody else's path. We can't visit the portions of the garden that others visited in the exact order they visited it. We need to walk with Jesus. We need to listen to Jesus. We need to follow Jesus. Salvation, the sanctification walk, the walking in the garden with Jesus, again, is not about achieving. It's about enjoying. Enjoying what we already have. We already have the presence of Jesus with us. With us 100%. We don't just have a little bit of Jesus with us. Despite the fact that all of us are being guided by Jesus, and there's a billion of us on the planet or more, right? Several billion of us on the planet. Jesus is able to be fully present with every single one of us. And so we have the presence of Jesus, but we also have the full empowerment of the Holy Spirit. We don't just have a portion of the Spirit. We don't have, you know, this baby portion of the Spirit that we got to eventually work up to so that we can have the full-blown measure of the Holy Spirit. The moment we pray the prayer, the moment we are adopted in the family of God, we have the full presence of Jesus and the full power of the Holy Spirit within us. And we also have the full inheritance of Jesus. The blessings, all the blessings, all the glory is ours at the moment of salvation, not some distant sanctification path down the road, right, where we have to wait and climb and work our way and get some ice picks or whatever to get through those. No, it's immediately ours. The moment we step into the kingdom. And so our walk with Jesus in the garden is, again, not about achievement. It's not about trying to get these blessings. It's not trying to get closer to Jesus. It's not trying to get more of the Spirit. It is about enjoying what we already have and becoming aware of what we already have. Aware of the power of the Spirit. Aware of the presence of Jesus. Aware of the amazing blessings that are already ours. This is the journey through the garden. This is the opening statement of our vision that we would fully enjoy our relationship with Jesus Christ. That we would fully enjoy the garden. As much of it as possible, because all of it is ours. There's not gates in the garden that we've got to somehow come up with the access code to in order to get through. Well, the only thing that is keeping us from enjoying the fullness of the garden, every apple, every peach, every carrot, and every broccoli, is just being aware of it, of just experiencing it as Jesus leads us to those portions of the garden. Let me read Psalm 34, verses 1 to 10. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul makes its boasts in the Lord. Let the humble hear and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. I sought the Lord, and he answered me and delivered me from all my fears. Those who look to him are radiant, and their faces shall never be ashamed. This poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of his troubles. The angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear him and delivers them. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who takes refuge in him. Oh, fear the Lord, you his saints, for those who fear him have no lack. The young lions suffer want and hunger, but those who seek the Lord lack no good thing. Jesus invites us into his kingdom, into the family of God, not for us to spend the rest of our days striving to do great things for him, striving to appease him in some way, or even striving to somehow pay him back for you know, the sacrifice of Jesus. He invites us into relationship with him, for us to spend time with him, to rest with him, to be with him, to enjoy him. It has been said by some that some Christians love church, love religion, love the spiritual practices more than they love Jesus. It has been said that some believe that they're excited about heaven, but not because Jesus is there. If we don't know Jesus, then life is not worth living. And perhaps even more scary, if Jesus doesn't know us, then we may very well be quite disappointed at the end of our life, no matter how we've lived. A pastor told me about 10 years ago, I heard him teach this to a group of about 30, just shared a bit of his testimony. And he said, my life with Jesus radically changed the day that I began to spend every morning 15 minutes just sitting with Jesus. He says, I didn't pray a prayer. I didn't read a scripture. I didn't do a devotional. I didn't listen to a podcast. I just sat with Jesus for 15 minutes every day. And he said, my life was radically changed. He went on to say that he encouraged us all to make that same change in our life. But then he said, but 90% plus of you will never do it. Of course, that was enough for me, being somebody that loves, you know, oh, yeah, I'll show you. But I can say now, 10 years later, that I 100% agree with that man's description. 10 years ago, my life changed radically. Not overnight, but as I began to spend 15 minutes just sitting with Jesus every day. Sometimes that 15 minutes would be only maybe 10 minutes. Sometimes that 15 minutes would be an hour. And I didn't pray my list of prayers, and I didn't read a devotional, even though I usually do a devotional in the morning. I just sat with him. I just listened. I just said, Jesus, here I am. Let's hang out. Let's just be quiet together. Or like, if you have something to say, I'm listening. And sometimes he does say things. He says profound things. Sometimes he just says encouraging things like, I just love you, Sean. Other times, most of the time, he says nothing. Not a word. But I can tell you, I am so different today. The things that I've experienced with Jesus, my sense of his presence with me has so deeply increased, so greatly increased over the last 10 years that my life has transformed. I have experienced things from the Holy Spirit. I've experienced things from Jesus. I've experienced things in life that I just have no other explanation for than that this day I decided I was going to just take 10 or 15 minutes every morning to sit in his presence and just hang out with him, that he radically changed everything.
And it's because Jesus doesn't want us to do anything for him. He doesn't need us to do stuff for him. He's not a slave driver. He's not trying to, you know, beat us into submission. He is not trying to force us to follow his ways. He is not demanding that we lay down his life, our lives. He's inviting us to come and to rest with him. That he is enough. That he is the one that we need more than anything else. He is the only one who is the solution to all of our problems. That we can't fix ourselves. That other people can't fix us. The only one who can change us. The only one who can transform us. The only one who can do anything for us. The only one who can redeem us is Jesus Christ. And he does that as we stop. And as we just seek to be with him, to just enjoy him, to not bring a list of things, look what I did for you this week, Jesus. To not bring that list of prayer requests, Lord, you got to show up in all of these ways. He knows the prayer list. Yeah, we need to pray the prayer list, but more important is to enjoy him, to be with him, and for him to know that he's not just some genie, that he's not just, you know, some tool for us to get what we want, that we would just know him and we would allow him to know us. Life, the garden life, the walking in this garden is about being with and enjoying Jesus. And if that means we don't do anything all day but be with him, then let it be. May it be. Our schedules are so full. Whether we're working full-time or more, or whether we're retired, or whether we're, you know, too young to work yet, our schedules are so full and so busy with so many other things that we do not have time for rest, and specifically, we don't have time to rest with Jesus. Matthew 11, right? He says, "Come to me, all who are weary." Are you tired of trying to strive to please Jesus? Are you tired of competing with all your brothers and sisters in Christ to somehow make it look like you're more holy than them, or at least as close to holy as they are? Are you tired of accomplishing, trying and striving every day? I've got to do this, I've got to do that, I've got to be better, I've got to get higher, I've got to be more righteous, I've got to be more holy. Are you tired of that rat race? Jesus in Matthew 11 is speaking to a Jewish people who are filled with legalism, constantly trying to appease God by following all of the laws, making sure that they don't get out of line in any way, in any moment. And we have replaced the Old Testament law with our New Testament sanctification of principles and spiritual disciplines. We feel like we've got to check all these boxes so that I am somehow now, God's pleased with me. I've done my part. But spiritual disciplines have taken a place that they're not meant to take. Because the spiritual disciplines are about enjoying Jesus. Not about getting his attention. Not about pleasing him.
The life in the garden is about enjoying what we have, about increasing our awareness of his presence, of Jesus' voice, of his truth, of his work, and of his goodness. It's an invitation for us to experience what we have, not achieve or not strive for it. This, again, comes out. This is all part of the enjoying, fully enjoying Jesus, part of our vision statement. There are three sub-statements that, again, Derek mentioned at the beginning, and I believe they're in your bulletin as well this morning. And I want to get into specifically one of those, but let me just quickly refer to the three. And I want to refer to them by giving you an image that those who have been in Trinity Alliance haven't seen. This is brand new. My beautiful bride made this for me yesterday when it kind of came to me. I says, we need this image. And so she put her, I don't know how she does these things, but I can't do it. So anyway, she did it. But so here is maybe just an image that can help us maybe to understand our vision statement a little bit more. But so this is enjoying Jesus. Again, the focal point is enjoying what we have, enjoying who he is, enjoying all of the aspects of him and the blessings that we get, the inheritance we have, all of that. That's the focus. And there's three areas where that enjoyment is experienced. First of all, relying. In our vision statement, it says that we are relying on the power of the Holy Spirit, God's word in prayer. And that's the one I'll zero in more on in a moment. And you'll see a sub-statement there that I kind of just added this week as I was preparing for this message. But this relying perspective, it's about this is where we walk by faith. As we walk by faith, we enjoy Jesus. And we rely on the power of Holy Spirit, God's word, and prayer. We are walking more fully in faith, and we are more fully enjoying Jesus. The second statement is on the left side, the journeying. And this is journeying with God's family in honesty and humility is the statement. And the sub-statement I put on here, again, just to kind of talk about, again, keeping the garden theme in mind. So we walk by faith through the garden. We also walk in community in the garden. We're not alone. We join the kingdom of God. We join the people of God in our journey, and I'll talk about that next week. And then the third leg, if you will, of the triangle is engaging our neighbor with the love of God in authentic and caring relationship. And then the walking portion here is to walk on mission. So I hope this may be helpful just to give you an image of kind of how our vision statement works and what all these different pieces are. But I want to kind of further emphasize the three sides a little bit more here. So I've just talked a lot about enjoying Jesus. Now let me kind of put in context the three sides. The areas, these three areas, relying, journeying, and engaging, can be a tangible evidence, a tangible way for us to enjoy Jesus. In essence, as we enjoy Jesus, we will begin to rely and journey and engage more. As we get to know him, as we become more aware of him, as we begin to enjoy more of who he is and the benefits and the blessings that we have, we will naturally begin to rely more, journey more, and engage more. But these areas can also be a place that increases our enjoyment of Jesus. When we're relying, we will enjoy Jesus. There'll be times where it's just like, wow, I got to enjoy even more of Jesus because I was relying. When I'm journeying, when I'm engaging, those things will increase my enjoyment of Jesus. So these things are tied together. Enjoying Jesus is the focus. That's where we want to spend our attention and our minds. And again, I would encourage you to take up the challenge of 15 minutes every morning. Not just this week, but forever. Just spend time with him. Even if that means maybe you need to put down your devotionals for a while. Do that only. See what happens. But we want to enjoy first. That's a primary. But there's three areas where we get to enjoy the enjoyment, right, of Jesus. Where we will experience the enjoyment of Jesus. And that is the three sides of the triangle, relying, journeying, and engaging. So this morning, let me zero in a little bit more on relying. Again, the sub-statement to relying is that it's about walking by faith. I'm sure you're familiar with Hebrews 11, verse 6. And without faith, it is impossible to please him. For whoever would draw near to God must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who seek him. Do we believe that God exists? Right? Not just in the way that the demons believe that he exists, right? James tells us this crazy passage about, you know, believe in God, right? And he says, even the demons believe in God, but they do so and they shudder, right? They're in terror, but they're not saved. So do you believe in God to salvation, right? Do you believe in God to faith? Do you believe in him so much that you're willing to put your trust in him wholly? Relying on the power of the Holy Spirit, God's word in prayer is about faith. Faith is not just believing, it's also trusting. We need to believe that Jesus has said who he says he is. We need to believe that we are who he says we are. We need to believe that salvation comes in the way that Jesus says it comes. But more than that, we need to trust those things. Trust that Jesus is the Son of God. Trust that we can be children of God, that we were created for that. And trust that he laid down his life so that we could be reconciled to God. It is through faith that we find the opportunity to trust and experience the power of God, the power of the Holy Spirit, God's word, and prayer. So let me zero in on those three statements a little bit more and help us to flesh that out and what those mean. First of all, the power of Holy Spirit. I mean, that seems pretty obvious, right? And we have it up first, but I, you know, in some sense, because it's first, because it just kind of flows well in the sentence. but it's also important for us to recognize that the Holy Spirit does exist. Where we do have people in America today, and Christians in America today, who have, you know, diminished the role of the Holy Spirit, have diminished the importance of the Holy Spirit, have maybe not have said that the Holy Spirit doesn't exist, but who live basically their lives in a very physical only kind of perspective. But we have to recognize that there is a Holy Spirit, and that Holy Spirit lives within us. Like, we have all of the Holy Spirit, not just a portion of the Holy Spirit. And three amazing things that the Holy Spirit does for us is that the Holy Spirit gives us the power to understand God's word. You know, this is why people who don't know Jesus, when they try to read Scripture, they can find all kinds of, you know, flaws with it, all kinds of struggles with it. Oh, this doesn't make sense, or this is illogical, or whatever. Well, 1 Corinthians 2 tells us, right? You know, you can only discern spiritual things with the Holy Spirit. But when we have the Holy Spirit, here's the amazing thing, is that we can go to God's word, and we can read it, and we can understand it. We don't, it's not that we shouldn't use commentaries. It's not that we shouldn't use other sources to help us to understand what's going on in the history of Scripture, or history, biblical history, or any of that. But we can, simply by just reading it, understand most, if not all, of Scripture. We can perceive the truths within because we have the Holy Spirit. And when we open up the Bible, the Holy Spirit is there, and he's ready to communicate to us. He's ready to discern or to reveal things to us. And so the power of the Holy Spirit that we're relying on is we're relying on him to reveal what is true in God's word. What is true for us. Not just true for everyone, but what is true for us individually. What is God saying to me today? Have you ever experienced that? You ever experienced God speak to you through Scripture? He certainly speaks in a lot of different ways, but he obviously speaks through Scripture as well. Have you been reading through it and all of a sudden a word stands out and you just can't get it out of your mind? A verse becomes just so, like, obvious, and you start memorizing it because you just can't forget it. It's just there constantly over and over again. That is the power of the Holy Spirit working in us, and we need to learn to rely on that. Expect that that when we open up Scripture, He's going to reveal truth to us. Also, the power of the Holy Spirit allows us to sense the presence of God. This is the mornings with Him. Many mornings, many times in my life, I've sensed His presence with me. It's not a tangible thing. Jesus is not physically there. I mean, he's there, but you know, it's like I can't put my arm around Him. I can't give Him a big hug. Like, He's not like tangibly, physically there, but He is spiritually there, and the Holy Spirit will help me to sense His presence. And this is one of the probably the biggest things that I've noticed since I started 10 years ago to spend 15 minutes every morning with Jesus, just sitting with Him, is that I have become more aware of His presence throughout the day. I'm just amazed at how, like, I begin to pay attention to things much more clearly. I begin to recognize things much more quickly. That, like, oh my gosh, God is doing something here. There's something happening right here. Jesus is with me. He's operating. He's functioning. He's speaking. Over the last 10 years, I've become much more aware and sensitive to the things, the thoughts that pop into my mind. Because I realize that, oh my gosh, all these thoughts aren't just mine. That there's times when He will give me a word. He'll encourage me in some way. I've been writing the last few months in our What's Brewing articles. So What's Brewing is an email we do each week. If you don't receive those and you'd like to receive those, you can fill out like the communication card and there's a box you can check. I want to receive What's Brewing, and we'll send it every Friday to you. But I've been writing, I write once a month, and so the last 3 months I've written about my encounters with Jesus at Rodeo Church, which happened back in May here in Reading. Three distinct encounters where I didn't do anything great. I wasn't even striving to do anything great. I was just there, and God showed up. Jesus showed up, and He began to give me thoughts. He gave me words in my mind that I was like, oh my gosh. I had this one guy that I didn't know how to pray for him. I had no idea what to do. I mean, this guy just, I was out of my mind. I didn't know, and I just started speaking, and all of a sudden these words started showing up, and I was convicted by the words myself, but also I could tell that it was the Holy Spirit, because this big, huge man before me began to tremble as the Holy Spirit spoke through me. The one I just shared on Friday that came out on Friday was a strange one, a weird one, where God gave me an image of a seat. I was praying for the seat in front of me, and He gave me an image of the person who was going to be sitting there, a young blonde woman. Crazy. I didn't ask Him for that. I didn't say, God, tell me who's going to be sitting here, but He gave me this image, and I'm like, well, that's crazy. I don't know why you're giving me that. And then the last thing He gives me as I get up to walk away is her name, Katie. Now, read the article, you'll find out that you never really know what happened there. But the end of the story is not maybe what you think, but it was amazing that God would do that. And so the question is, like, do we believe this? Do we recognize that the Holy Spirit has the power to help us to recognize the presence, the voice, the truth, the goodness, the work of Jesus? This is why it's vitally important that we rely on the power of the Holy Spirit. Finally, the power of the Holy Spirit helps us to join Jesus in what He's doing. And that's what I saw in these articles, these experiences I had at Rodeo Church, is not only did He give me words, but then He gave me the power to be able to communicate and pray into situations. He gave me what to do next, right? Otherwise, I would have just totally flopped. The second aspect of this relying or this faith portion is to rely on God's Word. And God's Word is truth. We need to learn to rely on what the Bible says is true. We need to learn to rely on who He is and who we are. That He is a God who created. That He is a God who has always existed. He has no beginning. He has no end. We have to believe these things about who God is. But we also need to believe that He is a good God. We have to rely on the truth of God's Word as it's revealed to us. That we have a God who loves us and who has great plans for us, who desires to bless us and to encourage us, to be with us and to empower us to join Him in all the things that He's doing. Because otherwise, we won't follow Him. We won't listen for Him. We won't wait for Him. We won't seek to know and understand and enjoy Him.
But we have to rely on the truth of God's word. It reveals who Jesus is, who we are. It reveals to us that we are meant to spend our lives enjoying him. To come to him and find rest for our souls. And finally, the third aspect of relying is relying on prayer. And this is where we really zero in on the presence. Prayer is not about listing off all the things that we need from him to do. We should include that in there. That is certainly part of prayer. But prayer is about communication with the God of the universe. It's about a conversation. Yeah, we've got some things we should share. He invites us to do so in Scripture. But he's also got things to share with us. Will we sit and listen? Will we shut up? Will we be still and know that he is God? As a conclusion of this message, I wanted to spend a little bit of time of kind of just expressing specifically in this relying on the power of the Holy Spirit, God's word, and prayer portion. I just want to express maybe some of what that means for us as a church. And understand this comes from my heart, certainly. These are the things I want to do. But I want to invite us, every one of you, to join me in this. I want you to enjoy Jesus. I want you to enjoy Jesus more than I want you to, you know, teach Sunday school, to lead worship, to be a part of the prayer team. Like, I want you to enjoy Jesus primarily. That's my heart. That's my desire personally, and I want you to do the same. That's where I get everything. That's where joy comes from. That's where the things, the empowerment comes from. It's all there. So I want us all to do that. But in regards to relying, I want to encourage us and invite every one of you into taking faith-filled risks with me. Would you dare to believe that God is speaking to you? Would you dare to believe that he's speaking to you in ways that maybe you're not used to, or that maybe in ways that you thought he never would speak? Would you dare to believe that he actually can use you to express his love, his goodness, and his power to the rest of the world? Or maybe just to that one individual you're sitting next to? Will you dare to believe that? That's risky to believe that. If we believe that, do you realize how risky that is? And trust me, I've been walking this path for some time now. I have faced the consequences of this risk. To speak things that come into my mind, believing that maybe that indeed was God. And seeing the ramifications of that statement. Sometimes it's beautiful, but sometimes it's really scary. Sometimes it's really easy to speak the words that God gives you. Other times it's like, wait a second. If I say that, people are going to think I'm crazy. People are going to think I'm a fool. People are going to think that I'm out to lunch, that I've lost, I'm off my rocker. Are you willing to believe that the Holy Spirit dwells within you and he is revealing things to you in his word, but in life, in the consequences, in the circumstances, in the thoughts that you have, in the dreams that you have, in the words of other people, in the books that you read, in the podcasts that you listen to, in the videos you watch, whatever it may be, like that he is actually speaking to you, and that he desires to use you, not for like as a slave, but he invites you to join him in blessing other people. That is risky. To believe that this corrupted and sinful mind, that somehow God can get a truth through there in a way that I'm able to understand it and hear it and then help me to speak it. Part of daring to believe these things is the next step, which is having no fear of failure. Because when you begin to believe that he may actually want to use you in a way to bless somebody else, matter of fact, every day there's someone that he's going to bring into your world that you're going to have an opportunity potentially to speak a word of truth and life over that person, not just some generic thing that you came up with a long time, but a specific word that will come into your mind in that moment. Like, when you begin to believe that, then there's going to be things that come into your mind, and you're going to go, wait, that's kind of crazy. But in order to speak those crazy things out, we have to let go of our fear of failure. We have to let go of, you know what, actually that was me and not God. Maybe it was. But we've got to give up the fear. Here's the deal, like, once we have been adopted into the family of God, in essence, there is no such thing as failure. I think this is the mindset we have to come to. It's not that there's some times where I'm going to speak my words instead of God's words, right? That's not what I'm saying. But I'm just saying, in the grand scheme of things, there is no way, the moment we have been adopted into the family of God, there is no way, there is nothing out there, there's nothing we can do that will cause us to lose the great prize that we have received. Our future is secure. The ultimate prize of oneness with Jesus Christ and an eternal life with him is ours and ours forever. Romans 8, right? Who can separate us from the love of God? Do we believe it? Do we believe it? Again, do we believe that God is with us? Do we believe he's speaking? Do we believe that he actually is going to use us and will give us words and encouragements for other people? And do we believe that he is going to give us the empowerment to do things that we never would have done on our own without him? And do we believe that even if I mishear or misspeak, that I am still secure as his child? This is the walk that we need to learn to walk. This is the walk of faith, I believe. The walk of faith is where we take faith-filled risks. And we, as brothers and sisters in Christ, don't keep track of all of the failures.
It's not easy to walk it out. It's a challenge, a great challenge. But I think it's worth the challenge. I have begun to say this in my mind in some sense. I would rather take the risk of speaking a word that I think is his and have it not be his than to not speak the word or not do the action. I want to believe that that person I was praying for, that young blonde woman that ended up sitting in that seat, was Katie. That was her name. I don't know why God gave me that name. I don't know why I didn't get a chance to confirm that it was indeed her name. But I think we spend our life too often as Christians playing it safe. We're afraid to hurt someone. We're afraid to do something wrong. We're afraid to stumble and fall. We're afraid to fail. Okay, one last image, and then we'll have a worship team come up. We got to spend some time with our grandkids, which is always amazing. We've got a couple that are almost two, and so, you know, they're walking, but they're, you know, not super stable. And then we've got another that's, you know, just turned one, and so he's beginning to explore all that, right? And it's amazing. So this is like parent pro tip. So if you've just got like new baby or whatever, and you're kind of, I'm just going to give you some help here. So one of the things that's really important when you have kids that age is that, you know, they walk around and they fall, right? You know, they bonk their head into the, you know, the dining room table or whatever, right? And they do these things, right? And so it's really important that you need to know this. When your little two-year-old or whatever falls and bangs their head into the coffee table, like, the worst thing you can do is go, oh my gosh, oh, are you okay? Are you okay? Are you okay? Right? Because what happens? What happens? They cry like crazy, right? They freak out, and they just like, I mean, it's going to take you a half hour, 45 minutes, maybe all day long to calm this little two-year-old down because they got the boo-boo on, you know, the table, right? No, no, no. So that is not what we should do as parents. We should instead, when they fall, you kind of, oh, oops, oopsie, oh, that was kind of fun. Wasn't that fun? Oh, how's it going? You know, we whatever, like distract, you know, like, you know, that's okay. We kind of laugh, but we are not going to freak out. And here's the image. Like, I think there's so many Christians who are freaking out over, you know, a stumble in a fall. Oh no, I sinned again. Oh my gosh, God hates me. I'm the worst ever. And it takes all day long for us to somehow get back where we're like not weeping and whining and crying. This mic is driving me crazy. Anyway, it's like, it's just like horrible. And some of us, matter of fact, there are some of us who have a sin that continues to come back over and over again, and we are spending our entire life whining and griping and crying. And in the corner, filled with shame and guilt over our sin. But here's the reality. In the kingdom of God, sin no longer separates us. Because it has been paid for on the cross by Jesus. This is what we get to enjoy. This is the blessing. Does that mean that we don't still repent? No, we still repent. We still rub our head. Ow, that kind of hurt. But we don't spend all day whining about it. We don't allow it to keep us from continuing to walk in faith with Jesus, enjoying what he has for us. I think Jesus so often is like just telling us, like, come on, it's okay. Like, he's laughing and giggling with us, trying to get us to not freak out. But we can't stop it, and we, sister, we're crying. So I just, like, sin doesn't have to be that. Failure doesn't have to be that anymore. It doesn't have to rule our life. It doesn't have to be the thing that defines us. It's not the thing that defines us. All right, that's the last image to give. All right, worship team, come on up. Thank you for listening, and got a little bit more passion on these messages because it just is dear to my heart, and I don't know, these are the things I care about, I think, maybe most. Yeah, these are the things I care about most as a pastor, as an individual, as a child of God. And so I just want to conclude with just three, like, questions, invitations, if you will. Will you join me in fully enjoying Jesus, walking with him through his beautiful garden and learning to more fully sense his presence, his voice, his truth, his work, and his goodness? Will you join me in relying on the power of the Holy Spirit, God's word and prayer, trusting that he has good plans for us and more blessing than we could ever imagine? And will you join me in walking by faith, taking faith-filled risks, confident that no matter what comes, he is with us, and that nothing can separate us from the love of God? Will you stand and let's respond to him in some worship and song? Yeah, Heavenly Father, help us to remain with you. Help us to enjoy you. Help us to become more aware of you. Help us to experience you. Lord, help us to walk with you in this garden. Lord, root out those tendencies to strive, to achieve, and to do great things for you. And instead, may we learn to be satisfied to just be with you, to enjoy you in all that you have. Lord, thank you for your amazing grace. Thank you for your abundant love and the blessings that come with it. And thank you that there is nothing, even our failure, even our sin, as children of God, as those who've been adopted into your family, as those who are joint heirs with Jesus Christ, there is nothing that can separate us from your love. Romans 8, let's read the verses 35 and following. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? As it is written, for your sake we are being killed all the day long. We are regarded as sheep to be slaughtered. But no, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am sure that neither death nor life, nor angels nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. Thank you, church, for being with us this morning. If you'd like to continue to worship, we've got another song that you can continue to process with the Lord with. If you'd like prayer, our prayer team's in the back. We would love to pray for you. If you're ready to fellowship and encourage one another, then please do that in the fellowship hall. Speak those thoughts, maybe come to mind, and speak life and encouragement over each other. Thank you, church. God bless you.